lights on. I want you to be a father. He's your little boy, and you don't even bother. Like brother without the R, and he's starting to harbor. Cool, don't fool for thought, but for you, he's a starver. Starting to use red markers on his work. His teacher said he know he's much smarter, but he's hurt. Used to hand his homework in first, like he was the classroom starter. Burst in tears, let him know she sees. Now he's fighting in class. Got a note last week to say he might not pass. Asked me if his daddy was sick of us, cause you ain't never pick him up. You see what his problem is. He don't know where his papa is. No positive male role model to play football or build railroad models. It's making a hole and you've been digging it, cause you ain't been kicking it since he was old enough to hold bottles. He wasn't supposed to get introduced to that. He don't deserve to get used to that. Now I ain't asking you for money or to come back to me. Some days it ain't sunny, but it ain't so hard. Just breaks my heart when I try to provide, and he say, mommy, that ain't your job to be a man. I try to make him understand that I'm his number one fan, but it's like you born from the stands. You know the world is out to get him, so why don't you give him a chance? It's like,
I can't, I won't.
I want you to be a father. I'm your little boy, and you don't even bother. Like brother without the aura, and I'm starting to harbor. Cool on food for thought, but for you I'm a starver. Starting to use red markers on my work. My teachers say they know I'm much smarter, but I'm hurt. I used to hand my homework in first, like I was the classroom starter. Burst the tears, let him know he sees. Now I'm fighting in class. Got a note last week to say I might not pass. Kids ask me if my daddy is sick of us, cause you ain't never picked me up. You see what my problem is, that I don't know where my papa is. No positive male role model to play football or build railroad models. Just making a hole and you've been digging it, cause you ain't been kicking it since I was old enough to hold bottles. Wasn't supposed to get introduced to that. I don't deserve to get used to that. Now I ain't asking you for money or to come back to me. Some days it ain't sunny, but it ain't so hard. Just breaks my heart when my mama try to provide, and I tell her that ain't your job to be a man. She try to make me understand that she my number one fan, but it's like you born from the stands. You know the world is out to get me, why don't you give me a chance? It's like,
I can't, I won't.
Shower you with praise. Girl, I ready, I'm ready, I'm ready to make it official. Are you ready to make it official? The truth is, yeah, I can never find anyone else this close to amazing. You are, baby, my love. Baby, my love is eternal. Baby, my love is eternal. Oh, yeah, it's eternal. Fire within me won't burn out. Passion in place and inferno. Oh, it's an inferno. So, na-na-na-na, let you go. I could never let you go. Never.
I could never.
Never.
I could never.
Na-na-na-na, let you go. Girl, I promise to hold you forever. Forever.
For better or worse, yeah. inferno. Oh, it's an inferno. Oh,
so na 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 na, let you go, girl, I promise.
Radio, you're locked on to He Say She Say. It's time for your show. I know you're anxiously awaiting the show tonight. I'm getting the messages from you. One lady said to me, I am just hearing music. I'm trying to put you in the mood, Miss Dean. Come on, the topic tonight is gonna be hot. So you know we have to have the foreplay first, my lady. So tonight's topic is a very interesting one. And as I shared it with some folks, you know, I got some interesting comments. One lady said to me she don't think she's old enough for the topic. But I just want to tell you, you know, you're not alone. I've been a virgin all my life, so it's quite a interesting topic for me as well. I have to sit back, relax, and I have to listen to the doctor tonight. I am a baby here learning, you know, all about this topic. And before we get right into the show, I just want to do a few shout outs tonight. I just want to mention a few people who are always locked on and supporting us. I want to say good night to our very own Minister Ishmael Watkins, Minister Zonel Ford, Jay Nanton, the lady who is always behind Speak Life Radio, and she is here tonight, locked on. She said this is her favorite topic, sex, sex, and more sex. So she is right up front, ears to the speaker, and ready to roll. So good night to you, special people. Kim Dean, good night to you, lady. I hope that you had a wonderful day, and thank you for listening and joining us. Julia Aline, good night to you. Always locked on. Latoya, Lady Latoya. Sister Sandy, Pastor Jason, all my peoples listening in. So tonight, we are getting ready for this topic. I wanted to play some music and just set the mood. Tonight's topic is a very interesting one. So let me try to tell you this topic without biting my tongue. So tonight's topic, are you ready for it? The good doctor is going to be talking tonight about the socio-medical benefits of sexual intercourse to the male and female in marriage in Christ. Whew, that's a mouthful. But As I saw the topic, I thought, you know, everything that he mentioned in the topic is critical. So let's go down in this topic again. The socio-medical benefits of sexual intercourse to the male and female in marriage in Christ. Interesting topic. So I am looking forward to getting lots of nuggets tonight. I may be, you know, I might have been doing it wrong all the time. I am not sure, but I'm sure that I'll be told tonight if I was doing it absolutely wrong. So, you know, without much further ado, I want to get the good doctor on the line. Oh, as I was preparing for this show, I just want to throw something to you listeners. Oh, before I move on, good night to the Detox Talk ladies, Ayadele and Shade. All you ladies in Detox Talk, good night to you, Pastor Nancy, Allison. So many ladies in Detox Talk. If you want me to give you a shout out, just message me and, you know, we are ready to roll. So good night to you, beautiful ladies. Now, as I was preparing for this show, I was thinking, okay, let me think a bit about Christians and sex. And as I thought about it, I said, okay, so many Christians seem to struggle with sex. So many Christian men complain that they don't get enough sex. So many Christian women complain that they don't get the right sex, or sex is not good enough. And as I was thinking about the topic, I was thinking of a song to use as the intro for tonight's show. And believe it or not, I could not find an appropriate song that would probably go down well with all my listeners. So the thought crossed my mind, what do Christian people, when y'all having sex and you're setting the atmosphere for sex and stuff, what type of music do y'all put on? Y'all play the Hallelujah Chorus? What do you play? I thought of the song Heels by Minister Marion Hall. Yeah? Formerly Lady Saw. She's now saved and, you know, baptized, and she's a minister in the gospel. So for me, I have baptized the song as well. So that song I've shifted over to my category of songs, you know, for love making and stuff. But I want to ask you ladies tonight, especially, because they say that we struggle more with the Christianity and, you know, sexual issues. So I want to know from you ladies tonight, what songs do you really use when you're setting the atmosphere for sex? Do you use a song? It would be interesting to hear your answers. All right, so without any further ado, like I said, he say, she say. He say, she say is not about gossip. Let me clear the air on this. He say, she say is about the man's perspective on relationships and the woman's perspective on relationships. That's what he say, she say is about on this show. So tonight we have Dr. Brathwaite, Dr. Dale Brathwaite, back in the studio with us, and he is going to give us the male perspective on the whole sex issue tonight. And like I said, he say, she say, it is about having the man's perspective first. We want to hear what men have to say. We want them to take the lead on the discussion. We women, we want to sit back, relax, and just listen and hear what men have to say on these topics. So, good night to you, Dr. Brathwaite. How are you?
Good night to everybody. Good night to you. I am well.
I know you were waiting for this show. I mean, I could just feel the excitement coming off of you when you messaged me this evening and you said you couldn't wait. You were excited. So I am really anxiously awaiting the information that you would have to share with us tonight. So I want to thank you once again for coming and sharing with us, you know, and it is over to you. Go right ahead.
Well, there's a night to everybody, and it is necessary to understand that, I just want to tweak something that you said earlier. This is not about just a male perspective, because a man having sex by himself enters into masturbation. That's hand sex, jerking, defining fingers, stroking the bishop, because I'm dealing with that. I'm dealing with having an understanding of, are we humans that have a sexual function, or is this sexual beings? Where does God Almighty come in all of this in? Unless we can settle the score that sex is a God thing, I think that we're going to miss it through two heresies that has occurred in mankind, like where England brought in slavery and so forth, wherever they were, sex had a taboo set with it. So let's like in cricket, on paper cricket court.
Dr. Brathwaite. Dr. Brathwaite, I'm getting some feedback from our listeners. One listener messaged me. She said, listen, could you please tell the dear doc and gentleman that I'm single? So what he's saying is highly unfair. Please ask him to be considerate.
No.
Yeah.
2, verse 24 says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. The joining is double whammy, but the oneness is sexual intercourse. Sex is ordained by God. The Bible puts it this way, Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, it says, then God blessed them, empowered them, and God said, be fruitful, or in terms, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. And please note that sex was a penultimate before the fall of Adam and Eve. Consequently, sin entering the life of mankind has devalued all the gifts of God and the gifts that God has given. Sex for mankind, how we look at it, was a part of the very good declaration. And amidst this, that one should, among other things, rejoice in the wife of your youth. I know that everybody listening or you need is not necessarily Christian, but people have problems when people get married 18 plus. But I've realized medically and observationally that when people do all of these psychosocial achievements and they're young in like 45 years of age, they scramble for impregnation and healthy delivery of children. So God talks about in your youth. The Bible shows us, it says, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Proverbs 5:18-19. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times. So sex has a restricted area of operation, though we do it with all and sundry in some instances. And it says, and always be enraptured with her love. In the New Testament, we see sex as a need fulfillment drive. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 3 to 4 says, let the husband render to his wife the sex due her. That's what the word affection there means. And likewise, also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. So when they feel to commit some adultery, ask the wife permission to do it. Or ask the husband, say if it is sanctioned. Then if it is not, well, can't use my body that way. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4 said, marriage is honorable among all, and the dead undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. So the dead there in the Greek, the original language of the New Testament, generally speaking, this means cohabiting by implanting the male sperm, which is acceptable in marriage as previously defined. So it is putting in the penis into the vagina to implant the male sperm with a goal in view, giving God godly offspring, generally speaking. So we need to understand something coming out of scripture. Sex, when I stretch my brain over the 5 years of presentation of research of about plain talk and sex, I saw about four things coming up. It is there for pleasure. Genesis 2:18, God instituted the concept of partnership, of a helpmeet for Adam. You see, in Genesis 2:18, Genesis chapter 2, verse 23 to 25, 1 Corinthians 7, 3 to 5. In terms of pleasure, there is a joining relaxation that comes from sex. After orgasm, there's a period in which a man becomes unresponsive to sexual stimulation. But this is called the refractory period. And this varies from person to person, from minutes to hours. The penis loses its rigidity, the rest of the body relaxes, and often there's a strong desire to sleep. Though women do not operate in such a manner, they too, once total effort is expressed, a similar experience occurs. And this is on the basis of a little bit more reading in the empirical research, methodologies and stuff. So we have pleasure, the first one. The second thing is procreation. Genesis 1:28, Genesis 5:3, God, a direct plan for human sexual intercourse. Malachi chapter 2 verse 15 says, but did he not make them one, having a remnant of spirit, of the spirit? And when one, Therefore, the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. And I want to put something in here. That when people have unsaved spouses, sometimes they get so churchified and say, again, you're not quite unsaved, and vice versa. The Bible says you can have sex with your unsaved husband or wife, because you being saved sanctified them. Then it says, otherwise your children will be unclean, but no, they are holy, bringing them up in the fair admonition of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 tells us that. So God is looking for godly offspring. So he wants sex done in the context of marriage. So arising from what we call like a kind of observation is here that healthy sex leads to procreation. There's also the presupposition that the institution of marriage and sex springs from a godly reference. It is God who put the instrumentation and instrumentality of sex in place. For example, in sexual intercourse, the penis going into the vagina, the female anatomy in the vagina has a very similar shape to an erect penis. There's a sense of it that she stands, there's a going up nest, and a man generally speaking gets the direction, there's a more vertical expression. So the second thing was, the first thing was pleasure, procreation. Then the Bible puts spiritual purity. It says for widows who cannot exercise self-control by containing themselves, but rather burn passions, then marry. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 8 to 9 says, but I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as they are, but if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Sex is a tool also of self-control. When a man has sex sufficiently with his wife, generally speaking, he will not have a desire to go out with anybody else.
I don't like that. The thing is, I do not like
the word generally.
I do not like the way that statement is phrased, Mr. Speaker. I do not listen. I do not look. I have seen.
Let me stop you. Like, yeah, I'm not okay. You're going on. But let me check this thing here quick. Maybe I call it earlier. The Bible puts it. Lord. I read a scripture. Let me see if I can pull it back. It talks about adultery and fornication. Adultery says that you get peace more from somebody else. You get me? Hebrews got it, I remember. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, it says, marriage is honorable among all, and the dead undefiled. But what? The multiplicity of expressions of sexual intercourse, fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. One of the things I'm going to show you a little later, God willing, is that a man has a strong sexual desire once he's basically healthy for sexual intercourse every 72 hours. It takes 3 months to build sperm and 3 days for it to get ready. When it is right, the guy has that desire for copulation, for sex. The woman can do sex almost any time, the man as well, but her strongest thing is pre-ovulation.
So, but can all right, I want you to slow it down for me a little bit, right? And I want us to have a conversation. I want us to have a conversation. I want you to repeat the point you said just now about men going out and some rubbish that you said just now. No, I'm speaking for the women, right? Well, you know, I would say rubbish to get you to, you know, to just rise to the occasion of the conversation. Come rise up. So repeat what you said. Repeat what you said. No, I say it the same way you said it. Okay, you said that if a man gets sex often enough, or as often as he needs it from his wife, then it reduces the chances of him committing adultery, going out with another woman and so on. And
You see, a lot of men get
want to ask a question. For men who are unmarried and who are Christian, what then? You see, you just caused my whole head to spiral because I understand.
Gives you, Cheryl, look, the Bible gives you a recipe every single time. Put on conditions, right? You got your, if you want to put it in the secular, you got your job, you got your house, and you want no wife, and you want other people's wife. Get your own.
Or you ain't want no wife, you just want sex.
You just, right? But sex comes with the package of wifehood.
No, it doesn't. Not in Barbados. Not, wait, hold on. Back up. Wait, my ladies tell me slow it down, wait, not in Barbados. Sex, what's that, I mean, no, you said what, sex comes with the package of wife, of marriage and wifehood? What? No,
yes.
No.
Lord, let me talk to your women as well.
Listen.
Generally, if you've been talking about the multiplicity of sexual partners, this thing is that the women want sex just as much as the men want it, and you get something called salt. Sex at lunchtime.
But no, the women are saying they don't want sex, they want money. So the issue is that women have tremendous control over their sexual needs, but they will use it to their advantage to get what they want. But you are saying to me, wait, you are saying to me that men don't have the amount of control that women do. Is that what you're saying to me?
No. As far as my interviews over the last 3 years, some women have said to me, you think that men are sexually sometimes out of control? Don't fool the fuck, women too. I was doing a seminar in Trinidad not years ago, between 1990 and 1993. I was exempting this very matured lady, 70 somebody, and I was going down to young people and sex. She said, hey, partner, because I owe like coal, you know. So you can have sex as mature people. You can have sex during pregnancy in marriage. No, I am stricting myself to that deliberately so.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you can have sex as two persons who don't have a family yet.
Mm-hmm.
So a woman tries, some women, you can say women, I can go for some. Some women try to trick the men that they're not so sexually happy. Yet, then the money or anything you say is great and whatever, they don't call for it. Sex, as I will show, I just joined the introductory remarks, as they were saying.
But
it's beneficial to the man and the woman, because when you look at sex from the perspective of how nerves are laid out in the lower abdomen, the penis, the head of the penis, and also in the vagina, the clitoris and what's not, God put mutual benefit to male and the female. Even though what you have said, I have researched that the female, some females have been able to navigate their perspective that sex works for them. As one attorney lady said, listen, women, as she said it quite clearly, women leverage their vagina for opportunity.
But
and one person said they're not selling it, that is no longer a prostitution, but best benefits arising from the use of my vagina.
But I want to have a conversation with you. I don't want you to go down too hard and leave me. Because I am still stuck at the single adult male and his sexuality. Because as Christian women, we want to find men who have the ability to control their sexual urges and that will want to have sex within the context of marriage. Right? That's what we want. Wait. Now, if we are to live godly lives, live the way that God commanded us to live, if we understand the implications of sex. I you see what you said about the man and having sex with his wife and so on and going outside. I know we've had those discussions in our women's groups, and whenever a lady brings it to the table about her husband having another woman or having sex with another woman, oftentimes we as women tend to look at ourselves and we blame ourselves, or you know, there's a statement that's made that says it is because of me that he went and he did XYZ. And I have issues with that, because I think that we ought to take personal responsibility for our actions. And for me, the whole issue of sex outside of marriage and before marriage comes down to the issue of lust. Anything that is outside of marriage, as far as I'm concerned, it is generated by that lust spirit, that lust demon. And unless we call these things what they are, we can continually be in trouble. Because I do not think, right? I understand what you're saying as it relates to marriage, and I don't want to ease women in terms of their responsibility of meeting their husband's sexual needs, because I know that's a serious, serious problem. But at the same time, I want the whole issue of men not being able to practice celibacy or not being able to take full responsibility for their sexual actions, I want that to be fixed tonight once and for all.
But you said a lot. Let me pick it down. You're making assumption. I think a faulty assumption there that men don't have a certain body of control, and I can say women, you can assume the same thing, but they behave differently. One of the things that we need to understand before we demonize sex is that sex is a sacrament. It is a gift of God to mankind, and it has a divine objective outlook on it, godly offspring. What we have done to agree with still now is that we have taken a good gift and corrupted it. In addition, for a man to have sexual intercourse except for rape, there must be control at different phases. So control is self-management. One of the things that you hinted at early is that component where I often marvel at the point that people, the length of time people wait in our Western community is problematic, because we wait our best sexually healthy years, and then there are measures even with sperm, live sperm, poor egg, all these things can come in because our years of fertility between healthy, taking good things in the country, 18 and 29, therefore, that's real power.
Mm-hmm.
So the time when we should be reproducing, I say to people that when you get married and you start producing children, always add 20 years to your life and see what life you will have with the children gone. Because if you get married and you get children too late down, you're going to have a problem. So we look at it that God wants us to have lifelong sex with our partner and the special treatments that go along with it. Often, and I extrapolate from what you have said, the pickiness of some women can often cause them to be overlooked or bypassed by good men without necessarily being rich men. The second thing, as one lady taught me, she said, and this lady is about 70 years old, she said sometimes a man's struggle is that he's trying to reach too high for some vagina when there are inexpensive moral ladies out there that can become wife material. So our gaze, our selection, is that we want people as chevron boards on our shoulder rather than working responsibility of marriage.
I want you to, you see the whole issue of adultery? Now, many relationships struggle with the extramarital or extra relationship affair, even for those who are not married, because some of our listeners are not married. But I want, this is my personal feeling on the whole thing, yeah? And this is what I believe. When we don't practice the discipline and the self-control that the Bible speaks about, as singles, when we don't practice, when we don't come to a place as a single where we discipline ourselves sexually, I believe that marriage will not cure that. I have spoken to people who, men who've said, look, I went and harmed my wife when she had her period, you know. I really couldn't wait. I really couldn't do without that sex. So it's gaga a woman for when she having a period. There are men who, if the woman is pregnant and so on, they must be sexually active with somebody else.
This is faulty education. Very faulty.
Mm-hmm.
On all the grounds in looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
As I say that, marriage starting point is for young people and maintained into old age. You can get married old. My mom is a semi-retired first class hairdresser. I used to help dress brides and talk with them and help them with reference to marriage and preparing them for their husband. Not sexually or anything, so I was part of her working with them. They would have on towels and stuff, do eyebrows, help them through and what's not. No sexual contact at all. And I continue to see that we despise the youthfulness of marriage and give it to the lustfulness of it. I would keep saying that sexual intercourse and in marriage, for marriage, is a beautiful thing that we spoil. But the singleness of people sometimes, by death of a spouse, if I was said, or if I get married. Some people, because of their selfishness, do this delay, and that's the outcome. The stress factors that may be hindering them are very, very small. When we come now to the factor of the demons in this thing, that's another story. But the human sex drive is normal, just as normal, in my opinion, as drinking a glass of water when one is thirsty. The Bible says it is better to marry than to burn. For the man, more so for the woman, there is a literal burning that occurs just above the protrusion of the penis, maybe to the left or to the right. And then, medically, like when people come to me as a natural health doctor or practicing, working with them, there is a plagiarism in their expression. If something is hurting them, they would say, I hurt my back. And like, you know, there's a kind of like guard scale on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, 1 being the lowest. They would say, I hurt my back. So you know, it's somewhere between like 3. And if they say that twice, they heard my bad, you know they're up in 5 and I'm going up. Mm-hmm. And if they say, I heard my bad, you know that they're 9 point something.
Mm-hmm.
We too look at sex in such a way that maybe we should have been, by natural progression, prepared readiness by our parents and natural readiness by our physiological development. We miss that. And as a result, there is the onset of all of these burdens.
Mm-hmm.
So it is important for me to set and train our understanding that where Europe was, it became a doctrine of deism and dualism, bastardizing sexual intercourse, that sex and good sex is for naughty girls and poor sex and its rigidity is for married.
But I like what you said about sex. What you said, good sex being for naughty girls?
Yes.
Yeah.
Poor rigid sex is for married people, and then just where it occurs today.
All right. So I want us to deal with that. But I want you to say for me, right? Now you see a woman here telling you what to say. I want you to say for me, this is how I want this thing to be phrased. I want women to understand, wives, but let me say wives, because we're talking sex in the context of marriage. Because outside of that, we're going to be breaking down and unpacking the all the issues and the implications and so on outside of marriage, right? But I want wives to understand their responsibility for making sure that they meet their husband's sexual needs. And I want husbands to understand also, well, husbands and wives, because you get the effects on both sides. As it relates to sex within marriage, getting the extra sex or getting the sex that you feel you're not having within the marriage, sex outside the marriage from somebody else is not an option. Can you say that for me? Regardless of how high your sex drive is, because you have couples who are together who have different levels of sex drive, right? You might have couples who are together, wait, hold on, let me wait, I can get back the mic whole night. But you have couples who are together, you have people who are in professions, whether it be doctors, give me the people who have to work late at night. There's some people who have jobs, and based on their jobs, they are not available to be home with their, in some many cases, men, not able to be home all the time with their wives every night, or not able to have sex every night or whatever. Sometimes it's the woman based on different things. Sometimes it might be illness. I want this whole thing that the idea of having to go outside, I think that excuse is overrated. And we have to remove that from the Christian circle. Because if we are, first of all,
hold on a minute. It is not just the Christian circle.
I know.
There are some people who are unsaved are reasonably moral.
Mm-hmm.
What I would say to you, if people understood the benefits of sex to them, by plain talk on sex is to debunk several things.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Sex within marriage is a very healthy tool. When an individual goes and when a man goes and has sex with another woman, not with a woman, not his wife, and then go back home to the wife, you can make her sick. She can have from as far west as ovarian cancer. She can have microbes running about and making her sick. Yeast infections, and the list can go on. But what I would say to ladies in sexual intercourse, the benefits of sex for the woman includes washing up the vagina by semen and sperm, where microbes would have gone there. That sexual intercourse and the release of semen and sperm helps to wash the vagina and makes it healthy.
But
it's also a healthy child delivery.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, what are you punching, Mark? Are you a man?
I want you to punch. Punch hard. Punch hard.
No, I haven't been with the Hippocratic Oath.
I might pass out.
So, good. You got that right. So do I have skill sets? I gotta be careful how they're used. How it's saying onto this thing. But the benefits of sex for women include and not subject to alone lower blood pressure. Lower blood pressure. I'm not gonna go through these and come back to it.
But dog,
yes.
I know you won't go on the benefits, right? But I'm not sure that you said what I wanted you to say. But I want to go back to what you talked. I want to go back to what you said about the whole phenomenon of cheating. Because I personally don't believe in cheating. I think even the term is a bad term, right? So I don't use the term cheating at all. The whole act of having sex outside of your partner, right? Because
I am saying, though, if we understood the benefits and what it does to the individuals, we can put forward the other argument that you don't need to cheat. You get what I mean? So, I don't even know how many people have buried between 19, when I graduated, you know? Shucks. 1993, they're about to know. I just stopped counting because it became a problem. I said, cheat. I was one of the first persons to bury somebody in our prestigious race, like Coleridge.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first. I ran in the coat there and they see something. I said, oh, jeez, tell the Lord. You
So when a woman says she has a headache, the man then should offer a Panadol.
You can't tell she, I ain't going up there.
No, I see.
I'm using my head, not yours. I ain't going up there, so that's how it is.
Okay.
Good. So there's lower blood pressure, better immune system, better heart health, possibly including lower risk of heart disease, improved self-esteem, decreased depression and anxiety, increased libido, immediate natural pain relief, better sleep, increased intimacy and closeness to your husband, overall stress reduction, both physiologically and emotionally. So you find that persons, some ladies, because of personally induced vaginismus, they deny their husband's sex.
So you know you have to wait. Hold on, doc. You know you gotta break down these terms. Like I said, everybody, you know, you come from a medical background. Like Tyler Perry was. So wait, break it down. Explain what I mean.
No, one of the things is that when the husband attempts to penetrate them, one of the things that they do is to stiffen the muscles in the vagina, giving the guy a difficulty in entering. When he enters, he has what is called premature ejaculation because he spends so much time trying to get in. And then ejaculate fast.
I want to put something on I want to put something on the table now that you've spoken about the stiffening of the vagina and stuff, right? And like I said, I know you're gonna have the time to make your points and do the show and stuff, but you know this he say and you still gotta have she say. Now I want to put some things on the table. Two things. You talked about the woman stiffening her muscles. That's number one. And I want to go back to when you spoke about the naughty girl versus the Christian girl. And I want to say that though we are discussing sex, and we are discussing sex as sex within marriage, for many women, sex is not, I would say for many women, right? Sex, it is not as physical, or women don't think of sex or begin sex from a physical place. So that stiffening of the vagina, the whole issue of the naughty girl and the good girl, naughty girl, these are the real issues that affect women and affect how women treat sex and how ready or open women are to sex. Now, there are many women who struggle sexually with their partners, with their husbands, and the issues that they have absolutely nothing to do with the person that they are with. The issues sometimes go way back and are attached to psychological traumas and stuff that they would have had from abuse, from, you know, socialization, coming up in the church. You know, if you're a church girl, you're a good girl. Good girls don't have sex. Because a lot of times growing up, and it, depending on the culture you come from, the way that the sexual organs are discussed, the way that sex is discussed, you are taught that it is something wrong and it is something nasty. Right? As a matter of fact, I remember even as I was thinking about the show and I was trying to get the songs, my daughter would normally help me with the you know, getting the songs and stuff for the particular topics. And, you know, just like that, I asked my daughter tonight, and this is a daughter who is 24 years old. I said, you know any sex songs? My other daughter heard and said, what? Right? And she was totally taken aback by the fact that I was asking her sister about the sex song. And I was like, oh, shoot. Oops. You understand what I'm saying? So it means that even for me, it has been communicated to them that even that is wrong. The reaction that both of them gave me was like, say what? Who, you know, who you asking? You know, that kind of thing. So we must look at the issues that cause women to respond the way they do. And, you know, I've heard several statements, confessions from women and stuff in terms of how they struggle. I have had my own struggles, right? Now, do men understand the amount of dialogue that they need to have with a woman before they engage her sexually.
I would like to suggest that though that stands, I would like to suggest that you may have to say some women and some men. There are shy men out there. There are men out there who would be a village ram. But deep within them, it is satisfying a release factor that is going on. In some women, they will have they will give you sex because you are offering a historical perspective that a man gives money to a woman. And a woman said, if I needed to keep giving money, I give him sex. However, then we look at how God has designed us. Hindrances to sex, healthy sex, is an educational thing where within your home of origin, you were not properly told even the parts of the human anatomy. They may say, go and wash your foot. But when it comes to the vagina, go and wash your saltfish. They wouldn't say vagina. Go and wash it. Whatever words they put there. And for the male, the same thing. Where did this come from? A doctrine, a double whammy doctrine of deism and dualism. That God made the earth and left it to run itself. Deism. Second, dualism brings with it a doctrine that spirit good and matter bad. So we did not have a healthy respect for sexual intercourse. Our grandparents did sex at night. Most weddings occur in the evening. So the observation and enjoyment of the human body that Adam did with Eve, we generally don't do and take time, as far as I'm concerned. You may do that when you're getting older. So it is important to understand what has happened to us,
but
the role that sex has played in the life of the dark-skinned person, former slaves, that it was a tool of getting freedom gone. It wasn't a tool of romance.
But what
until we change that, mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead, you finish your point.
Until we change that by schooling our children, my daughter is 9, and from 4 years old, after writing my book was written before she was born, I started to tell her about her body parts. Recently, I started to tell her, she's 9, about menstruation and taking her through the paces that how she needs to wait when she gets older. And as she asks me questions, I answer them, because there's something called natural readiness and prepared readiness. So I'm thinking of more prepared readiness in a language that is conducive for her intellectual strength. So we have to understand the impacts on the sexual expression between the male and the female and the function that is served in the Afro-Caribbean diaspora.
I want to say something though. In terms of what you said just now as it relates to the attitudes towards sexual discussions and sex and so on, I think when you look at it, especially I'm going to speak about Barbados, because I believe that the same thing would probably apply to the Caribbean and across the world. There's a shift, there's a change. What I've found, and I've found this for a lot of years now, that the younger people are more comfortable talking about sex, engaging in sex. You know, they're freer. I just a couple Saturdays ago, I had lessons, and one of my students said, "Mom, you see this video?" I was like, "Oh Lord, no, these are things that I normally would not watch, right?" But I've always made it a point, once my students come to me with something, it is a teachable moment. So I watch it and I discuss it with them. And the video that she was showing me was about a church girl. It was something, some church girl video, and the things that the church girl would do, wouldn't do. And the gist of the video was that the church girl is boring as it relates to, you know. So it was this, non-church girl or street girl versus the church girl. And the way the girl who was not a church girl was dancing was totally different to the way the church girl was dancing. And it was an either or thing. So I said to them, so why it gotta be either or? Why the church girl can't be both? why is it that there is this thing that if you are a Christian, you can't do this or that? I said, listen to me, I'm a pastor, and all the things that that non-church girl doing is do. And they were like, oh, ma'am? And I was like, no, let's have the conversation, right? Because basically what the video is saying to you then is that you should not be a Christian. You shouldn't go to church because it is boring and you are restricted from all of these things. So let us have the conversation, you know?
All right. Yeah. And further. Mm-hmm. This is an Easter time. What is the correlation between Jesus and Easter eggs and a bunny? There is none. And yet we have Easter parades and cantatas and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And we continue this stuff. That symbolism of the rabbit talks about breeding, talks about multiplicity of sex and so forth. There's no link between our Savior and that.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a concept that we have to look at, that first of all, the designation of having sex came from God Almighty, not from playboy, playgirl, or no devil in hell,
mm-hmm.
if you want to put it that way. It came from God.
But
and it has a purpose.
The other thing I said to them too, if you really read the Bible, you would reckon they would recognize, because when we talk about, and I always talk to my women about this, when you look at the preparation of Esther, when you look at the preparation of Ruth, listen, you couldn't want we as far as I'm concerned, in this time, we as women, we are not really ready. When a woman is sick for days in milk to prepare her body and her skin for sex, I don't think that we as women really understand how serious women in the Bible were prepared for their husbands and were prepared for sex. So this whole church girl thing really goes over my head, because I've studied the Bible and I've seen the deeper issues.
So I am preparing to do my edit the last chapter of my book, Beyond the ATM Man and the Lady with the Friend. And I started to look at Genesis again and to see that the virus of sin, how it has affected the ATP of man, and I'll break that down. It has affected the DNA and it has affected the RNA with the presence of COVID-19. We're hearing these acronyms all the time. It has affected the energy that we have to acquire to do functions, and then the communication from the energy into the cells to command us how we do things, because potentials that exist come from that bottom line energy, which is the human adenosine triphosphate, which comes from amino acids. And for an athlete to run fast, if those cells are not filled, God help him when he finishes, because some athletes drop down dead, look fit, but they type no. Likewise, the same thing happens with our accumulation of information. Psalm 51 says, behold, I was brought forth in sin. Another verse may have said, I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So the concepts that we have in mind are not totally Bible driven. Because there's a freedom that comes in knowing Christ when one has to perform the functions that God has designed you with. So it is necessary to understand the concept of value of sexual intercourse to the woman, so that all the other freaky thoughts that she may have can be debunked and she can perform better. And let me hurry, there's some women. So having sexual or sex alone through masturbation, for example, would not stimulate the release of much of what is called feel-good factor or the oxytocin, or other mood boosting hormones as having sex as a part of a loving relationship. So you find that there is little or less benefit when it comes to self-esteem and depression. When you look at it, having sex within that loving bond, there is a lacking in that mood boosting hormone inside there. As a result, then your stress factors or the pain reduction is compromised. Your sleep element is compromised, entrance to the vagina is a very sensitive spot, and it is not too far in. When that is stimulated and stuff, there's a gland that releases estrogen that moisturizes the vagina for the entrance of the penis, and that too, after gyration, can have another release, which is in that what is called totalitated feeling, brings heightened pleasure to the woman. So God wants all those experiences within marriage, because when the guy is there with you, you're now not taking a powerhouse and giving it to somebody else, or wondering if he's giving my heightened pleasure to somebody else. So the power of sex in marriage saves you from that depression, because you're now not taking your body and giving it to somebody else. You're now not taking your body and linking it to somebody with the possibility of a sexually transmitted infection or a disease.
Now,
one of the things,
I know you're looking at the socio-medical, right? And
yes.
One of the things that I believe, right? I am watching a lot of the medical issues that I see presenting in women. And I personally believe that a lot of the genital issues that women have, a lot of the cancers that women are presenting with and so on, are directly related to inappropriate sex. Now, I am OCD, right? So whenever I think of sex with somebody, I automatically have visual, you know, I get visual images of their penises and where it went before and what was left on it and what's going to come into me. I mean, I am OCD when it comes to sex. Now, I also have a belief, right, that a lot of the emotional issues, a lot of the emotional illnesses that I see manifest, such as Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and stuff, because of things that I've heard women at that stage say and do, I am wondering how much of it is linked to sexual trauma that they would have experienced. I remember having this discussion with a nurse, and she was saying to me, it breaks her heart sometimes when she's working with the elderly in the homes and stuff. She said there's one woman who cries out bitterly at night, and all she does is call the man's name, and she's been rocking the bed. Why you do that to me? And she said many women that she has worked with at that stage of their lives, when they're suffering from these diseases, a lot of what they talk about are their painful, you know, sexual experiences, or when they got cheated on, or things that the man would have done and stuff like that. So, as you talk about the medical issues, these are some of the things that I personally feel, and I am wondering, is there any proof to that? Is there any substance to that, or is it just my psychosis as it relates to sex?
All right, let's eliminate some things. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that of brain degenerative diseases, and some of the brain degenerative diseases are as a result of poor breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm.
when the individual was younger, within that first year.
Mm-hmm.
If the breastfeeding is limited or inappropriate, or inadequate, sorry, there will be the onset of certain non-communicable diseases in the individual. The brain will not develop properly and so forth. The other thing is this, that, you know, Caroline Davis sang that song, Stealing Love on the Side. I don't belong to you, you don't belong to me. Joan Armatrading, the lady that just died, singing Sandra, you can keep your money, keep my dignity. Sparrow said, no money, no love. Gabby said, you can't have kids with me. So, Stalin, he said, where are all the things you promised me? So these point to, and then the guy's shadow, he said, you're headed for a horn, boy. Then he said, the horn of man crying. All of these songs can come up that gives us an idea of what is happening in the community, and it would lay guilt in which you have pointed at before and tonight at the feet of both the male and the female. There is transactional sex going on as we speak. We must understand that, and that men got something to buy, or some men, and some women got something to sell because they have a goal in view. And that's one of the challenges. So you find that people break the bond of holy matrimony. I mean, in many instances, men, an individual, male or female, is exercising infidelity. Tell yourself that you are just another number in this arsenal of opportunities. So he does not have as much of a commitment to you as you think, and vice versa. It is just another moment. Focus on the family has shown that a virgin young lady keeps herself. When she gets married, she's still keeping herself. But when she gets her first child, and she knows that she can be prone to adultery. Once she gets past the first barrier, and she knows what this is like, why these things happen, I wonder what else is out there. So both male and female participate in sexual intercourse, and the lady is not just a receiver, but she gives herself to sexual intercourse.
But
the guy is not just a penetrator, he gives himself to that, and two of them together make sexual intercourse what it ought to be and what it is.
One of the things that you talked about, the virgin girl who keeps herself and then she has a child and so on, I think, you know, the Bible says that we suffer because of lack of knowledge. And one of the things I know for sure that we must correct is the whole aspect of sexual education. When you talk about the virgin girl and after having a child and she being more prone to adultery and so on, something changes. Now, watch what happens. You're growing up as a young girl. If you're a Christian girl, you're growing up in the church and so on. You have not had much discussion or preparation for sex or education, right? You, let's say you get married or you didn't marry and you had a child. One of the things that I realized was that when I had my first child, I was not in any way prepared for the level of, and I'm going to use this word, right? For the level of rape I would have gone through. And I use the word rape so that a picture is painted. Now, growing up as a young girl, growing up in the church, coming up in a very secure and safe family, you know, thing. And obviously having had experiences with sexual abuse too as a young girl, that too would have shaped my mind in a particular direction and so on. Now, when I had my first child and I realized that in other words, here are medical practitioners, right? Who are strangers, who have access to you. Now, this is something I wasn't prepared for. I wasn't prepared for the amount of doctors, well, and in my case, it wasn't even a lot because I was a private patient. And there are more who are exposed. The persons who go public are exposed to even more. But these are conversations that women in my women's group we've had. As young women, you're not exposed or prepared for the amount of strange men, and even women who are going to have access to you and have access to what you would have been protecting all those years from everybody else. What happens to a woman after she has her first child? A lot of times, we do not understand the psychological scarring. Now, you would hear men or women, even women, would see a woman out in public and she's breastfeeding. Or, for instance, I remember one that it was on some Zoom with these Christian people, you know, and the dress I was wearing was an off-the-shoulder dress, and some Christian woman was remarking that, you know, I wasn't dressed properly because she was seeing too much of my breasts. Now, after you've had your first child and you've had to be naked and undressed in front of people who you don't know, right? I'm saying that something changes for a woman, and things that She would have hell, sacred, and dare before. She now has to adjust and get accustomed to the fact that this is no longer her pearl. This is no longer her secret. Everybody has seen it. And I've seen this happen to many women. And it is one of the traumas that women go through. And many, their husbands do not understand. And it realized, like I said, even some of the women don't understand, because after a while, you know, the whole thing of a woman dressing this way means she's looking for a man, or she's showing out this, or she's being seductive. And sometimes that's not it at all. That's so far from the woman's mind or spirit, right? But that aspect of a woman having her first child and being more prone to adultery, I just wanted to share that with you, because I recognize, as I counsel many women, I realize that many women have gone through that, and it changed them in a way that they themselves cannot understand, or that they cannot really unravel. Yeah? So that is something that many men do not understand, how the first pregnancy changes a woman, how it impacts a woman. And how then she has to adjust. And like I said, I use the word rape. How she has to adjust to how she feels about the amount of people who has prodded her and, you know, done all the things that had to be done to her. That really and truly, even though, yes, she was prepared for the pregnancy aspect of it, that part is something that I don't think any woman was ever really prepared for.
Okay, what I would say to you, I had, along with my wife at the time, something called Lamaze training. And we went through that with to establish the point of birth in over a month. I could laugh at me, you know, she could sit on the ground, but I couldn't. You know, I carried the child within 9 months, minus 4 days, so I get that about me, and I said, God, now you've got the apparatus, help me, Lord. So, my God says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And this is where the Bible says in Titus chapter 2 that older women should teach younger women how to love their husbands, and older men should teach younger men how to love their wives. So, we must understand that the benefit, a lady in the Bible advertised herself to get a spouse, but then there was a change also when she got the man, and vice versa. So both male and female bring something excited to the table of marriage for performance, and it is done within the context of marriage, even if you have the different variants of relationships. I have said to people that when you get involved with a person and develop a complicity factor, most of those relationships don't end up in marriage. So we come a little bit to get to know, but marriage gives you some miracle from God that there's a new knowledge. In addition, if I look at it from a socio-medical perspective, arising from scripture, why God wants certain things happening is that there are several benefits to be derived from sex in the heterosexual marriage. And sex can also, as I said, improve mood, relationships, and mental well-being. Sex, there's three things that helps a marriage. All of us are not strong in all of them: communication, sex, and money. And then, partnered sex appears to have several protective effects on the cardiovascular health, especially in women. In addition, further research, as I reflect, found that regular sex increased the effectiveness of the immune system. Researchers, and I'm talking about marriage primarily, researchers found that people who had frequent sex, which they define as 1 to 2 times per week, again, it comes into the 72-hour basin component, had more the immunoglobulin A or IgA in their system than others. And is what is called an antibody that lives in the mucosal tissues such as salivary glands, nose, and vaginal tissue. So again, in marriage, sex has a profound benefit on the health of the relationship, and to the health of the individuals. It is the glue that keeps the marriage going. but in that one side, again, you see something else coming out. Another set, if I recall properly, of research that even as far as 2004 or so, found a high frequency of ejaculation may reduce the risk of prostate cancer. And the study investigated nearly 30,000 males, you know, at the time, and looking at how often they ejaculated at different points in their life, they concluded that those who ejaculated more than 21 times per month had a lower risk of prostate cancer than men who only ejaculate 4 to 7 times a month.
Wow. You know, I have... Wow. I just want to say good night to some of our listeners. We have some people in their 20, 25, 26 age group listening in. They're locked on. I just want to say good night to Alina and Kimar. Wonderful couple listening in. And one of our listeners sent me a comment. And she said, listen, no matter how much sex you give the man, he still want more. So she's saying that what you're saying isn't true, man. That men have this, what they call a bottomless pit, a bottomless well as it relates to sex.
And you see, because she has a counting number of how much sex he should get. And the person is going to draw one number, so how much sex he want get he, how much sex he want get she. And that's the thing, you want to find out, tell me how much food I should eat. Right? You have a bottomless pit for eating nice food as well. Look, when no people go in the supermarket and the food that will last for a week. Could be eating in 3 days.
This man gonna take my life.
because it, oh God, not intended, the Hippocratic Oath tells you, don't do that, but for real, she talking bare foolishness. Let me tell you one thing, find how much sex the man should get. The man gets sex by virtue of the power principle of producing sperm. When God says that Adam filled the earth and subjugated, think that it once in a while? One day at a time, listen guys, all the time, not times. So let's understand that if the lady tries to discipline the man, once is good enough, you're talking bare crap, woman. You get what I'm saying? Because at least every 72 hours, he's going to want. If you say that the man got a demon, I probably had some too over 20 years. Not demons in it. The thing is that God made us to have sex, to procreate. God made us for each other. So unless if your dog can't eat, who will you eat by somebody else? Because there's a drive that glues us together. God did not put the nerve endings inside the penis tip. We need to have sex.
But I don't like some of these statements and comparisons that you're making. I mean... But you're just a dog. I mean... I do not agree with you. I don't.
But guys, you see, the woman that's in Europe, guys say this thing, but this is a proverbial statement, man. Don't kill me for that. But let me put it this way. When men are not having enough or sufficient sex at home, and I'm talking about the sadism or all them fancy terms, they will look out. And I'm saying, when a man's testes are empty, one of the things, you know, some of that sperm blow off and so forth, I'm suggesting in real medical terms that guy's attention to wanting to go out will be less. And trying to see how much sex a man should have from his wife is foolishness. You get married for the licensure of it. If you don't want sex, don't get married. There's a eunuch. You get me? When you tie your baton, you ring, you free up the thing. Both male and female. Because
sperm
is not getting out. Yeah, but wait, give me 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. Our man's testes, they become septic. It's sticking together and stuff. And as a result, it can become inflamed. Your prostate can be swollen and the onset of prostate cancer. There are other things that can cause prostate cancer, including trunking and so forth, or bullying, as we would say. Male homosexual relations, but we are talking about that. If the sperm ain't getting out, you can create a problem for the man. The woman was given for the man, but today we got all kind of tables turned upside down. So the frequency of ejaculation protects your husband to even give you a better quality set of money bringing in from the job.
You know,
because you